I tell you what encouragement. I don't know where everybody is around the world, but when Rick told me this was going on, I couldn't wait to be part. Prayer changes everything. And thank you guys for your consistency. Well, God's spirit will not stand still. He's not in a box, as you guys know. So that's and I'd love to do this with a devotional. By the way, I'm Mark Guthrie. It's my 33rd year in education. I've had the opportunity to oversee a number of Christian schools on different continents. And so my passion, if you're old enough to remember Chariots of Fire, you remember Eric Little, and he had a statement that said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I build Christian schools, I feel his pleasure. He didn't make me as fast as Eric Little, but that's okay. He made me to build, and so I am a builder, and as Rick said, some things have just hit recently that are obviously the spirit moving, and you know what a privilege it is to be in a spot where he's on the move, because the rocks can cry out if we don't, and so what a privilege it is that he uses us. But I'd like to introduce this in a prayer devotional, because I know that's really why you're here, and so there's two verses. You could even say them with me, because you all, I think, on this call probably have them memorized, and maybe you lean into them as heavily as I do. But it's Proverbs 3:5-6. And it is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I see some of you mouthing it already. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths or make your path straight. So my question to the group here, probably more to Mark Guthrie here, is, do you believe that? Do you believe that? I've trusted the Lord with all my heart, and when I was serving in Uganda, my wife left. My wife left. I've trusted the Lord with all of my heart, and some of my children are not where they need to be with Christ. I don't know if you're experiencing a trusting God situation, and or you have experienced it, and God did not respond like you believed he should have. And so I think the hardest part of the Christian life for me, as I continue to get older, is trust. It's trust. And of course, at the core, you guys meet here faithfully to beg God to pour out his spirit on in where you are and around the world. And the core of that prayer is faith. It's trust. You're hoping there is somebody that's hearing us and somebody that can do something about your prayer. Right? That's the hope. Somebody's hearing and somebody can do something about it. And so that's the core of your faith. When you begin losing that trust, you fall into what I've heard a number of theologians call functional atheism. Okay, you've heard that term, functional atheism. And if you haven't, it's literally claiming you believe in God, but you live like you do not. Okay, functional atheism, claiming you believe in God, but you live like you do not. Paul Tripp wrote about functional atheism, and he said this: we worry too much, we control too much, we demand too much, we regret too much, we run after God replacements too much. We do all these things because we have forgotten God's presence, God's power, and God's glory. If I'm honest with you today, I often trust those chariots and horses that Psalms remind us of. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. I often trust those over the name of the Lord our God. I can see the chariots. I feel the horse's breath. I see their muscles. I marvel at their power. And I preach the power of the name of God very often because I believe in it. But I would say often I just believe in it at times, not fully. If you read the book of Job, as many of you have, sometimes when you are in your trials, you read the book of Job, and Job had a pretty solid argument, if you ask my opinion, against the Lord. It seemed like he was trying to do things right, and things were happening, and as you read the first 37 chapters, the friends can get a little off there, but Job had a pretty good argument and wanted an audience with the Lord. And as I read the book, as I read the book often, I often want to say, I think you owe Job a why, God. I think you owe Job a why this is all happening to him. And if God gives Job and me a why, in some ways, I feel like I can trust him better, and that will enhance my prayer life. But as you well know, God never gives Job a why. Instead, God gives him a who, right? He gives him a who. I find my prayer life weakens not when I cannot understand God, because that happens often. It weakens when I forget who God is. That's when my prayer life weakens. In November of this past year, while I was laying the groundwork for another Christian school that I was building in Uganda, because that's been my work since 2014, I received the call from the organization from which I was working, and I was being paid. That was nice. And they said, hey, we've run out of money as an organization. We need to restructure. We'll pay you for another month. And I am sitting in Uganda in the dark, and I hang up that call, and I just think, I don't know about this at all. I don't know about this at all. And at the literal moment the call ended, I heard a clear word from the Heavenly Father, and he said, be still and know that I am God, right? Be still and know that I am God. I desperately clung to that verse, Psalm 46, as I packed all my things to return to the States, wondering, what's next for me? What's next for my family? I don't know. So as I was heading to the airport, okay, the airport, I don't know how many of you have served at all in East Africa, but anyway, I was in Jinja, Uganda. The airport's about 4 hours away in Entebbe. And so I'm going to the airport, and I receive a call from a lady, and she says, could you meet me in Kampala, the capital, on your way for coffee? And I said, hey, my flight leaves at midnight. I've got time. I'll stop for coffee. So I met her on the way. And I accepted. This lady told me, hey, I've just been contacted by the Archbishop of Uganda, literally that morning. The Archbishop asked if she would be willing to take over 6,000 Ugandan schools and the teaching institutes where the teachers train to transform Uganda from the bottom up. So this is the Archbishop of Uganda asking her. She is the Association of Christian Schools International Director in Uganda. So some of you know of ACSI out of Colorado Springs. And so this is the director in Uganda. In Uganda, it's this big. And here in the States, it's very large. And so the Archbishop, that is the only person he knew to contact. He is on fire for Christ. And he said, we need to do something to grab the hearts and minds of these kids, because here in Uganda, we have a dead country. That's what he felt. And so he oversees at least 6,000 of the schools, and he said, we need to transform all of them. Contacts this lady and says, can you do this? We'll put them all under you. And so this lady looks at me on my way to the airport in Tebe, and she looks at me and said, hey, Mark, I'm asking you to oversee the entire effort. I'm asking you to oversee everything. And I was like, there's 6,000 schools, nurseries, primary, secondary, and vocational. And they want complete biblical transformation at every school, at every level. And so I had been piloting for ACSI, a little program for national schools in developing countries, because that's normally what ACSI has not done in the past. And so we developed a 2-year certification process that national schools can go through. And so the Archbishop wants every school to go through this certification process, which requires introducing the leaders and the teachers to Jesus Christ, probably 350,000 teachers. If I just have a meeting with the heads, it's 6,000 people, just with the heads of school. And so introducing them to Christ, discipling them, as much life on life as you can. Again, my initial job there has to be train the trainers, but discipling them and then giving them best practices, leadership traits from Maxwell and other things that you're giving them. And then you move on as the 2 years evolve into the teachers, and then you move on into the students and their families. And there's about there's about 3 to 4 million children, and their kids that they want me to oversee. And so, there's another twist I'll tell you, but I want to end the challenge before I tell you the last twist. And that is this. By the way, the First Lady of Uganda, who's Janet Museveni, who's also the Minister of Education, has now jumped on, and she is welcoming this with arms wide open. So she is supporting this as well. So there's still challenges. I want to finish the point of prayer. There's still challenges. I'm here in the States right now. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's not really where I want to be. I'm raising financial investment to be able to get all the training materials and do all we need to do in Uganda, which is overwhelming to me, to be honest with you. Because the poverty level of the schools and the vulnerability of the children, they can't raise this money. I need to systematically train thousands of administrators to overlay a biblical educational model over thousands of schools. But God has made it very clear to me from day one that this is his work for his glory alone. And my first, middle, and last task is to trust him. No chariots, no horses, only the name of the Lord our God. And so my challenge is the name is still above all names. When he says be still and know, you can count on the who, even if you don't understand the why. A couple twists have happened since then, and I'll end with this, Rick, because I know we're here to get before that name and to call out under that name. And that name has redeemed me and restored me and renewed me and remade me and recreated me and reconciled me. And so I'm all in for that. But a couple things have happened in my ministry that I'll throw this out and be finished and turn it back over to Rick. One is Word of Life Ministries. I don't know if anybody here is on that, but Word of Life is out of upstate New York. And they also have they're out of Florida now as well. But they have asked me to come and oversee their school in Kampala. They have an international school. This has all been since this other ask of overseeing 6,000 schools. And I told them I can't do that. But can I counter? Can I go and invest in your school? I will go and invest in your school if you allow me to live there, use the school training ground for all these thousands of other schools, use the staff, use the teachers, all of that as I'm pouring into them. And they immediately said, absolutely 100%. We've got a bed waiting for you. So when I fly into Entebbe, I have a place to sleep. And I'll be staying on the compound of Word of Life International School in Kampala, which, again, allows it's the capital and all the spokes will go out of that for this other ministry, which is really great. The last twist I will tell you, just to remind you at times to be still and know that he is God and that Mark Guthrie just is trying to hang on to what God's doing because he's way out of the box. There's an organization here in the States called BSF, a Bible Study Fellowship. I don't know if a lot of you know what that is, but it's a wonderful systematic study of the Bible. One of the older directors of it, her name was Rosemary. She also had a heart for Africa, and she brought together a lot of theologians, a lot of PhDs in both Africa and here. And they had for 20 years developed a curriculum. They've called it Rafiki, and it is a classical Christian biblical curriculum for nursery through secondary school in Africa. And so they have jumped on board. And I just talked to the director 3 days ago, and she said they have Rafiki villages in 10 different countries, and they have been using this tremendous curriculum. I mean, it combines all the African authors and fables with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I mean, it's just beautiful the entire way through, completely biblically integrated for Africa. And the First Lady has already welcomed it and approved it. And so they told me 3 days ago that they are going to move their printing operations into Uganda. And if this is all they do for the next 15 years, 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, is printing this curriculum along with the BSF Bible studies, which start in nursery, if you didn't know that. And they involve the teacher, the child, and the family. And so it's a daily Bible study, just the BSF Bible study being overlaid, which I hope to do the day I get there, will bring thousands to Jesus Christ. Many of them educators there. But then also this curriculum, they have invited me to oversee applying this curriculum for these thousands of schools coming out of Rafiki, which, again, initially was launched from Bible Study Fellowship. So, again, the God is tapping me on the shoulder and saying, it's not your work, it's mine. I will not share my glory, but I will allow you to be who I've made you to be. And that is the way I give him pleasure. And, of course, in return, he fulfills me completely. So that is what's happening with me. I am trying to finish raising that support and getting the investors and get back over even by the end of this month. I'm already about halfway in the last 4 to 6 weeks. And then as soon as I get there, we start working with the representatives from all the regions of Uganda. And then we start working with about 140 schools starting next year in the 2 year process, then 1400 and then all 6000. By the year 2030, we hope to have all 6000 schools go through that that certification process. And so again, it's a God work. I'm trying to hang on with all I've got, but I hope it encourages you this morning as we say, some trust in chariots and some in horses. We can trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Amen. Mark, thank you very, very much. Probably because I'm conservative, evangelical, American, I'm not super familiar with even the term archbishop. I know this is the Anglican Church. Yes. And I am glad about is that there appears to be a leader of this Anglican Church in Uganda who has a desire that biblical principles and biblical theology permeate the education process. And so I'm glad for that. I think this is one of those things that we pray for. This is ground up. This is training children. So, Mark, does that reflect pretty much what this is?
It is. It's the Uganda officially is an Anglican country because it's an English colony initially. And so the Church of England, Church of Uganda, same idea. And it is true what Rick just said. If you want to pray for somebody, I know you pray for lots of bodies, but the Archbishop of Uganda is on fire for Christ right now. And so his name is Stephen Kasimba. It's one of those things that God is at work in his heart, and he is seeing a country that is not, I mean, that I don't think it's ever happened since 1962 when they became a country, that we have a man like that is saying, we will serve the Lord. Let's go after the hearts and minds of the children. You know, Aristotle has a great quote, and he says, give me a child until 7, and I will show you the man. And I think, again, this is a generational battle, and so the privilege of going after those hearts and minds through Christian education and through honoring the families and through, again, getting those hearts and minds first and foremost of those administrators and teachers, because the Bible says eventually the student becomes like their teacher. So you need to have teachers filling those schools that are redeemed and renewed and restored, and they know about the gospel, and they know what the cross is, and they know about sin and forgiveness and repentance. And then they also have the tools to inspire other kids, their children, to join them in their learning journey. That's a great teacher. And so that's my primary role, probably the next 10 to 15 years of my life. Lord willing, if he gives me 10 to 15 years, is to pour into those administrators and teachers, which goes into those kids, which goes into those families. And as we all know, gospel changes everything, brings order, elevates the women to where they need to be. Black, white, blue, green, doesn't matter. In front of the cross, everything is level. And that's the beauty of the gospel.